Tom and Leah are the Watchers.
Our Baker's Dozen is actually 12. This is the 12th episode of We Are the Watchers. Thanks for being here, guys.
Hey, no. Thank you.
Correct answer. Well, I already have spoken to Tom briefly.
About what I want to talk about first.
How he has got a lot he wants to get through. Okay. So I think this is going to be a jam-packed show.
Yeah, he's been digesting a lot.
I got bullet points. We got that much to get through. Some stuff that will just blaze past quickly.
Oh, holy fork and shirt balls.
But first, we have to discuss what happened this morning. And this is going to date the podcast. Time it very efficiently.
Put a stamp on it.
That Falcon Heavy launch this morning. Space!
I saw a short version of it last night. I'm itching to see that long version, though.
It's so good.
It's looking awesome.
There is a mannequin dressed as a spaceman driving a Tesla towards Mars right now.
Wait. Let's roll this back.
Yeah.
What happened today?
Okay, so Elon Musk, who is Tony Stark in real life, he is Iron Man. His company, they've just shot, SpaceX, they've shot a rocket into space. They went in saying they had maybe 50-50 chance of everything working or any of it working. Instead, it's been 100% success. The three boosters that got it into orbit all successfully broke off and then returned to the launching platforms.
Because they want to be able to use them over and over again.
Well, yeah, and doing that saves like $114 million per launch. Mm. But like these things literally flipped in the air, came back down and put their landing gear out just before they touched the ground.
Oh,
landed simultaneously.
Sweet go, Elon.
Oh, I'm so impressed.
Now, what I'm impressed about is that in that show Mars, which is half drama, half documentary, they were talking about wanting to get these launches.
They've been trying to get this going for a few years now.
So this has
been
amazing that it's worked.
Mm. And this is the most propulsion and biggest rockets used and stuff since the Apollo missions.
Wow.
Sending people.
We all know how some of those went.
That's right. But none of that now. Not only was it a successful launch, but it was the successful re-entry of the boosters.
Excellent, great.
Now, you were talking about a Tesla and a mannequin as well.
Yeah, so inside the rocket itself, Elon Musk put his personal Tesla in there, and there's a mannequin dressed in a special SpaceX space suit. It's a convertible Tesla, so the top is off, and this thing is driving through space.
That's fucking
He's posted awesome. A photo this morning that just says, "Meanwhile, over Australia," and it's Australia in the background as he orbits. On the dash of the car, there's a sign that says "Don't Panic," which is a reference to Hitchhiker's Guide.
Awesome!
And they were playing Bowie. I will happily say I cried.
Yes.
Yeah. This is the biggest achievement in our lifetime.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. And this guy, and I can see Tom's getting quite emotional about it now.
I've actually got shivers up my spine.
I got goose pimples.
Yeah.
Elon Musk, we salute you.
He's such a dude.
He is a dude.
And you think, like, 3 days ago he announced the new solar battery farm initiative for South Australia and stuff. Yep. He's got a lot of ties for Australia. He's doing a lot of stuff for us.
Yeah, and so much so he flies a convertible over us.
Do you think he sleeps? Because when does he have the time
to do all
of this?
He'd be a micro-sleeper. I reckon he's on, like, the same sleep pattern that people that do the round-the-world yacht journeys are.
Yeah, yeah.
I've watched a documentary on the guy.
Mm.
He's been through some terrible mental hardships.
Yep.
Throughout his career, he's been bankrupt. He's had people doubt him.
Mm.
No doubt, as you can imagine, with some of the ideas and concepts that he comes
up
with. It's like, dude, you're fucking crazy. Seriously. He's been ousted of companies. He's been bankrupt. He's had mental breakdowns.
Tesla's never made a dollar.
No, and he'll sit there and he'll put his hand up and he'll own each and every one of them. He also talks about his day during this documentary, about how he manages emails, because apparently he just gets thousands a day.
Sure.
And how he handles phone calls and time management and stuff like that. The guy is a pure genius.
Mm.
His IQ must be through the roof, and he works extremely hard. Yeah, he is a micro sleeper.
And I assume have determination that doesn't waver.
Yeah. Cool. I think, look, he's the equivalent of a Steve Jobs, but just in a different field. He's quite an amazing person.
The thing that I love about him is that, yes, he has these failures and stuff, but the successes he has are so monumental that he goes and asks investors for money and says, you won't get any money back. You if you're investing in Tesla, you won't get money back.
Yeah.
Maybe further down the line you will, but you're not investing to get money back. You're investing in the future.
Yeah.
And everything he does is to improve humanity.
Yeah.
Now, he could eventually turn evil and become a Lex Luthor, which would be amazing.
It'd be interesting to watch at least.
Yes. But, oh, man, I got so much time for this guy. He's awesome.
Yeah. And his name's awesome.
It is.
Very manly.
Were these rockets that they launched up, were they elongated?
They were pretty long.
There you go.
Yeah.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Apart from that, there was a bit of watching that I know that you two had a moment in time to watch.
Yeah.
We had an impromptu drop.
We did on Monday. Mm. So Cloverfield Paradox dropped on Netflix.
A lot of people talking about it.
Yeah, it was pretty monumental. So 10 years ago, the first Cloverfield came out, and they didn't reveal a trailer, a name, anything until mid-January, and then the film came out in February, which had never, ever been done. Shook up the game a lot. Similarly, Cloverfield 2 or 10 Cloverfield Lane, they held off announcing anything until right before the film was going to come out. But no one's ever done a day and date release of the trailer and said, hey, in 2 hours you can watch the film.
Now, was it set up to be available for people to watch just after the Super Bowl or during the Super Bowl?
So it was a big move from Netflix. So the film had been made by Paramount, and it's actually been in production for a long time. It finished a while ago and stuff like that, and it shifted hands a few times, and the release date for it kept getting pushed back. And there was rumours that it would be February 2nd, and then they announced that it would be April 20 instead. 420. yeah, but instead Netflix stepped in and bought it, and rather than, you know, hype it up, like they released Bright in December, which wasn't the greatest movie, but for a Netflix production, something they did themselves and everything like that, it's a real good start. Whereas this, they purchased it and decided that to continue the Cloverfield franchise's way of messing with release stuff, they just dropped it on everyone. And we were in the office at the time, and it was the perfect opportunity to drop pens and just watch.
And Tom, it was good fun.
Tom told me at the front, and he said, you'll never guess what has just dropped on social media. It's a trailer for the sequel to Cloverfield. I got goosebumps.
So you
twice.
So did you watch the original one back in the day, or have you seen it recently?
Yeah, no. I watched it back in the day, and I watched 10 Cloverfield Lane. The hearing that this was dropping was excellent. Did it live up to expectations? It was a standalone. I found it to be a good movie. It was no Matrix trilogy. It was no Terminator 2. I don't think it's going to win too many awards.
No,
but you have fun?
I had fun. I enjoyed watching it. I didn't want to get up and leave. I wanted to see where it was going, what was happening. It was quite a clusterfuck for the mind, actually, with how it all worked. And if you're into your geeky sort of stuff, then this is right up your alley. We're talking, you know, space-time continuums. We're talking about jumping into different realities.
Yeah.
And there's shit that just happens on this ship where you go, oh, what's going on?
What's happening? Well, for me, it was really confusing because it's literally the first Cloverfield I've ever seen.
Okay, so you watched it?
Yeah, because Tom said, you know, watch it if you get the chance, and I got the chance. And I thought, oh, cool, all right, I'm going to give it a go.
Tom doesn't tell me to watch it. He tells me to look at it.
Look at it. And I must say the first sort of 10, 15 minutes, I didn't really know what was going on. And then suddenly I went, oh, okay. And even not really understanding much about what was happening, it was really, really good fun.
Yeah.
And I noticed there was an Aussie in there.
Yes, who was also in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Elizabeth Debicki.
How tall is she?
She's really super tall.
Yeah.
And I discovered her, was it last year, I think? It might have been a couple of years ago now, with that Foxtel show, The Kettering Incident,
sure,
set in Tasmania. And In that, she's the main character, but you're never sure if she's evil or not.
Right.
So this character was sort of similar,
that at times.
What's she doing? Yeah, and the whole time in the Kettering incident, you're thinking, what is she doing here? Which is exactly what I was wondering in Cloverfield as well. But what a fun movie. I really enjoyed it. And I'm not going to give anything away except for, if you have never seen a Cloverfield before, the last 30 seconds are really super confusing.
Yeah. I had one big question at the end of the movie, and perhaps if our listener out there may be able to help us out and send through the message.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
Did the Cloverfield monster, did it actually eat the shuttle as it was re-entering the Earth's atmosphere? Because it looked like it just jumped up out of the clouds and went, yuck, there you go, into my belly.
It's like eating a sesame seed.
It would be.
Just the one deer.
Yes. Yeah, oh, geez, I'm full.
Look, as you said, it's not going to win any awards, but that's not the purpose of these films. Mm-mm. They're very much like a Twilight Zone anthology. Mm. They loosely tie together and there's bits that plug into one another.
And I think it's also for the hardcore fans of Cloverfield as well.
And it's disposable popcorn fodder. It's just sit down and watch. What I enjoyed, because it's from J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot Company, and their whole rule is around the mystery box. You've got to pay attention and unpack things yourselves. They're not going to spoon feed you all the answers. You've got to join some dots. There's a talking head on a camera at the beginning of the film with an author who basically lays out the rules for the film of what might happen.
Yeah.
And very cleverly, it's also kind of, because I've got some inside word, addressing what's likely going to happen in Cloverfield 4, which should be coming in maybe October.
Holy cow, there's another Cloverfield coming out the same year?
Yes, and this one's going to be set during D-Day.
Oh, so it's not at all related to these characters?
Not these characters, but perhaps the monster.
Uh-huh.
The very interesting thing is the first Cloverfield set in 2008, and it's in a world that's not futuristic, and just suddenly there's this giant kaiju monster destroying New York. The second one, we won't go into 10 Cloverfield Lane, but it also tangentially relates to this, whereas this third one, the guy lays out the rules at the beginning of, if they do this space-time continuum test, they may be severe repercussions, not just for the present, but also for the past.
Mm.
And in doing so, that kind of explains where the monster in Cloverfield came from, because that's set 20 years after this film, but it also kind of lays out what may be happening for this fourth film, which is set during D-Day, and it's Allied soldiers behind enemy lines in a Nazi village discovering some supernatural shit going down.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes.
Which is what I'm gathering Cloverfield's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just
having
good
seen
fun.
One, I'm an expert now.
Mm. Hey, is your voiceover guy, is he wearing pants today?
Hi, I'm the voiceover guy and I've got no pants on.
Talking Super Bowl. Mm. There were some trailers that we should maybe have a bit of a chat about.
We definitely need to discuss one in particular.
Which one's that?
Australia.
That was not the answer I was expecting.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, I just wanted to sort of touch on the fact that there were rumours in the week leading up to Super Bowl that perhaps the Crocodile Dundee thing was not for real.
Yes.
And obviously we got that confirmation.
Very much not for real. Good tourism ad. Mm. Well done to them.
Yeah.
Taking a different angle. The Americans seem to have responded to it well. So if we get some money out of it.
I've seen the chatter to it. I haven't actually seen it.
Sure.
But I heard that there's a lot of chatter, which is, I mean, any publicity is good publicity.
I heard somebody say, and it was a really good point, the people who enjoyed the ad are the people they were catering to.
Correct.
The people who didn't like it would never come to Australia anyway.
That's right.
And we don't want them. Sorry.
Get out. Which ad were you talking
look, there's
about?
There's a couple. So we got our first look at anything to do with Solo, which is the Han Solo movie coming out in May.
Yes.
Not sold on that one. We'll see.
Do you?
You're not on the movie?
Nah.
Nah?
Nah.
But Tom, do you think that the last...
Hot garbage fire behind the scenes.
I know, but that aside, what does... I mean, sorry, Leah, to interrupt, but separate the chatter online to what you actually saw in the trailer. What do you reckon?
Yeah.
Trailer alone.
Oh, look, Last Jedi's burned me pretty hard.
That was my question, Ash, was going to be. Has the fact that bad taste in the mouth that you experienced from watching The Last Jedi
impacted
on all Star Wars?
No, that was just Wookiee hair.
No, look, Last Jedi, I really didn't enjoy, and that was one that they're proud of and were hyping for ages. Mm. And this is one that they've effectively buried up until this point.
Ron Howard directed this one,
well,
didn't
Ron
he?
Ron Howard stepped in to direct after they fired the original directors. Mm. Mm. And the guy playing Han Solo.
You don't think
no, yeah, I don't think he has the chops.
Because Harrison Ford is quite a unique character in himself. And he puts his own stamp. Doesn't matter what the character is. He can play many different characters, but there's always...
Get off my plane.
There's always that Harrison stamp on every... Yes. Whether it's Indiana Jones, whether it's The Fugitive, whether it's Han Solo, it's...
Look, I will say that I had one pang of excitement, which was seeing Donald Glover as Lando popping up.
Donald Glover, is he part of the Glover troop, is he? Is he like Denny's son?
No.
He's not too old for this shit?
No. No, he's a rapper named Childish Gambino. He was also on Community for years.
Okay.
He's also voicing Simba in the live-action remake of The Lion King.
Right. That's just me generalising, by the way, sure. Jakes, because, you know, he is of, you know, African-American descent and he's surnamed Glover, so I'm just thinking, geez.
And also, Ash,
these guys must be related.
Don't tell Tom this, but he was in Girls for a while.
He was, and he has his own show called Atlanta, which is great.
Okay.
Yeah. Moving on, we have, and we can move through this one quickly, is Mission Impossible 6.
Oh, happy joy.
Yep.
Why are there six?
There's another one for you to watch if you choose to accept, which I don't. I will probably give that one a wide berth.
I'd say most people would.
Yep. Then there was a trailer, a teaser trailer for Avengers Infinity War, which was pretty great. We saw a shot of Spider-Man looking like he's in space.
What's going on there?
Well, there's some...
Hopped aboard the Cloverfield ship.
Oh, there's some sort of spinning disc ring thing coming in, which I don't know if it's related to Thanos.
Sounds like extreme frisbeeing to me.
But a bit of that and a lot of Doctor Strange and Iron Man teaming up, which I think we're going to see some cool effects with powers. And Captain America with a funky shield given to him by Black Panther.
Ooh, there's a whole lot of tying in going on there.
Yeah, Black Panther next week. Yes, ready for that.
Bring it.
The other one that got me quite excited in the film sense was Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Now, I don't know if you saw the trailer for that, but it was a minute and a half one.
Which is quite long.
Yes.
And can you kind of give us a quick synopsis?
Sure. Well, the first trailer revealed that there's a big volcano explosion about to happen on the island that Jurassic World and the original Jurassic Park were set on. And Jurassic Park 3, but we don't talk about Jurassic Park 3. And that they were going back to the island to try and rescue as many of the dinosaurs as they could. And this one's revealing a little bit more that there's some corporate espionage and things taking a place from...
Funny that.
Yeah. Cue dramatic revelation. Dun, dun, dun.
You may recall during Jurassic World that B.D. Wong, who was the scientist, took his briefcase with the DNA codes and hightailed it off the island before things truly went to shit.
Do you think that was the Wong move?
Oh, nice one. I think he might have shared that information elsewhere or set up shop somewhere else and... Because it looks like they've made another fucked up hybrid.
Oh, great!
Tell me he took it to New York, and they've just decided to breed a pack of killer dinosaurs in New York.
Put it this way: there's something that looks like a horribly oversized raptor, more clever, in a child's bedroom, like sneaking up on it while she sleeps.
That's where you want one.
Oh,
go to
if
sleep.
If you don't go to sleep, this raptor...
Mr. Body Body here is going to go chomp chomp.
Look, one of the most fun parts of The Lost World, the second one, was when the T-Rex was smashing through San Diego, chasing Jeff Goldblum in the car. So if we get a lot more in that sort of movie of dinosaurs on the mainland, a horror film, basically. Let's make an action horror film.
If you could have a crossover... I know that you're a fan of the Jurassic series. Well, most of them anyway, and as am I. If there could be a crossover of movies with Jurassic Park-esque or that series in them, what would you cross it with?
Indiana Jones, I think, would be pretty great.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Because I'd love to see we'll say 40s or 50s set one with dinosaurs in there. That could be very cool.
Mm. Agree. I think that'd be great.
I think Nicolas Cage, his National Treasure series.
This is very Nicolas Cage.
There's a map on the map. Something like that could be really fun.
Yeah.
I tend towards the action adventure type films, but I think it could also be very cool with either Planet of the Apes or King Kong or some sort of giant.
Yeah, I was going to say King Kong type thing. Or maybe even Cloverfield.
Yeah.
One of these monsters lands on Jurassic Island.
Well, look, I'd also love something like a Deep Blue Sea, because we saw the Kronosaurus. That was the one in the water, the giant tank.
Yeah.
Something to do with those ones getting out and really fucking up the world's ecosystem.
Or even Sex and the City, the movie. That'd be great. We'll get a bunch of fucking raptors in there to eat all the chicks.
Hey, Kim Cattrall's already a dinosaur.
All right, so let's go to TV shows.
Westworld!
Which show have you been watching?
So it's not back yet, but
it's
coming
back.
Soon,
isn't it?
It's going to come back pretty soon. They're saying maybe April, because that's normally when Game of Thrones would drop. No Game of Thrones this year. HBO went all out and paid for a $5 million spot to show off a lot of footage from Westworld too.
So much money.
Mm.
We didn't get too many hints from this trailer, but they're definitely showing things that are not just Westworld. So we're going to get Eastworld or Samurai World or something like that. We got hints of that last season. Mm. And the producers have been very open that they want to visit other worlds. So we may get a Jurassic Park-ish type world.
Now, I haven't seen Westworld.
Oh, it's
Think there's time for me to...
It's only 10 episodes.
Okay.
And the answer is always yes.
Okay, right.
You reckon jump on it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's amazingly high-produced. It's Game of Thrones quality.
Perfect.
Yep. And Anthony Hopkins, just... so many great actors and actresses that you love, and easily the best work of Thandie Newton's career.
Oh, I like her.
Yeah,
she's been in so much stuff that has been quite solid.
Yeah, and this is such a conflicted character that she plays.
Yeah, right.
And there's this beautiful. I don't want to give anything away, because if you two haven't watched it, plenty of listeners may not, but I cannot recommend it enough. There's a wonderful awakening that happens throughout the show.
Wonderful.
And it changes, the end of season twist is a little bit lost-ish, but it changes things for the rest of the show moving forward.
Okay.
Yes.
Fantastic. I'm big Kev excited then.
So that's all the stuff that I'm looking forward to. But then there's been so much to actually watch this week.
And you've been busy this week watching?
So busy. So the first one that we should talk about, obviously, is the Good Place finale.
So much fun.
Oh my God, that was good.
Yep.
So much fun.
Once again blew up the premise of the show and it restarted somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even expect them to go there. And but I should have. Well, at the same time, when you saw her with her shopping, I went, of course.
Mm.
But why didn't I think about it?
Well, they dangled the carrot of the medium place. And so I thought that would be the setup for next season if they're all split in their medium places. Now, what we've seen on screen feels like it's back in reality, but it could alternatively be a medium place where they're being tested individually to see if they progress.
Mm.
But I think the main thing we have to talk about this episode was how good was it seeing Ted Danson behind a bar?
Yeah.
And that was on purpose.
Yeah. The flick of the tea towel.
And the cleaning out of the shot glass.
He was just so natural. I wonder why.
Yeah. And the funny thing was, Eleanor didn't actually pick up that he knew her name.
No.
She hadn't told him. Yeah. And he's said...
Oh, I didn't pick up on that, Ash.
Yeah. And then he's called her Eleanor and she's like, oh, yeah.
Do you think he was the one that pushed her out of the way of the shopping trolleys?
Oh, absolutely.
100%.
Yeah, yeah. He looked 100%. A little bit tanned, I've got to say, but... Yeah, you know, he's on Earth now.
Yeah, it might just be different complexion.
Could be, but the white hair was there.
Now, how long do we have to wait till the next season?
I don't know. However long it is, it's way too long.
Oh, look, it should be later this year. They're definitely confirmed for another season three. I think will be another 13 episodes. They keep it really tight so they can have solid writing.
And if you're looking for a great social media account to follow on Facebook, their Facebook page is awesome.
It's really fun.
They dropped some teasers as well. There's a few little spoilers in there. That's where I saw Eleanor kiss Chidi.
Yep.
Was actually on Facebook first.
You got the spoiler.
Hot diggity dog. It's a really fun, interactive little piece of social media love there.
And have you guys noticed just in general, a lot of people are jumping on board of The Good Place?
Well, that's because of this podcast.
I know, I realize that. Absolutely. But a lot of people, I think because for here, most of The Good Place's audience is on Netflix.
Yep.
And word of mouth in not only Netflix but podcasts as well. So it's the same sort of thing. It's all word of mouth. You must watch this. Yep. You must watch this.
Mm.
And a lot of people have jumped on board because of suggestions by other people to watch it. And they're going to binge them and they're going to be in the same position we are now.
Yeah.
Having to wait.
Well,
it's very rare to get a comedy that's also structured in the same way as a Lost or one of these constantly evolving shows that makes you keep coming back. Normally, comedy, everything resets at the end of the episode.
That's right.
Like that sitcom style. So it's an awesome mishmash of genres that just works.
And themes as well. Like, philosophy has always been a warm, fuzzy place for me.
Mm.
And that's where this show is different, is that it's a comedy, but it also makes you sit there and think. And not only think hard and deep.
Yep.
And I'm watching it always thinking, what have I missed? I've clearly missed something. I need to watch this again.
Mm. Oh, you can't be on your phone or anything.
No.
You've got to pay attention.
Yeah. But even then, I feel like I need a second watch to enjoy everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They pack a lot into 22 minutes. And since it's only 22 minutes, you can sit there and you can pack it in even more.
You really can.
Yeah.
What else have you been through, Tom?
Look, a few quick ones. The Impractical Jokers came back this week. I mentioned last week.
Yeah. That
it looks like Gary Busey's involved. Gary Busey's fucking involved.
And is it hilarious?
It was so good.
I knew it would be.
He was accused of being Nick Nolte and did not respond well to that at all. So that was great. The mid-season finale happened for S.H.I.E.L.D. and I talked about whether or not they'd get back to the past. It looks like some of them have. So.
Okay.
That leaves a lot of things up in the air for the future. Black Lightning, did you see this week's episode?
I've not seen it yet. Well, I'm really excited to.
There's a whole mix of things going on. There's a Black Lives Matter march, and there's also some really deep discussion around proper penis washing etiquette.
Okay.
Yeah, which I was not expecting, but the principal has to pull a guy aside and how do you wash yourself? Mm. He's like, well, you know, I get out of the shower and I don't have a bath mat, so I start at my feet and then work my way up. And he's like, well, you're potentially putting athlete's foot on your penis.
This is true. Yeah. He might be a fun guy.
Yeah. But there you go.
This is a show that I'm going to catch up on this week.
Yeah,
it's, and I know that there's one out any second now too.
How do you do it, Tom?
What's that? Head down.
Head down.
Start with the hair, work my way down.
Oh, right.
Deal with drips.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gravity.
I usually start there first.
With the tackle?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's because you've been given a real good wash in the shower.
Yeah, and I'll finish there as well.
Yeah.
Just to be sure.
Just to double check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Good work. It's nice to know that you're a clean person.
Yeah, you know, I'll share this information with anyone.
Another great show that I've only caught the pilot of so far is called AP Bio. And it stars Glenn Howerton, who you'd know as Dennis, the tall one from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
And this is his new show. It also stars Patton Oswalt.
So it's a comedy.
It is a comedy, but it's also, it's hard. It seems like it's going to go to some pretty dark places. He plays a guy who was a Harvard philosopher, and he gets fired from his job, and his arch nemesis takes the job. And in order to put money on the table, he moves back into his dead mother's apartment and is teaching biology at a local high school, and basically walks into class the first day and says, all right, everyone, I'm not here to teach you. I'm not here to learn anything from you. This is a good chance for you to get a nap. But he quickly realizes that these kids will do anything he says, so he's going to use them to take down his arch nemesis.
Wow.
Mm. So the first assignment they get given is, write me some good catfishing statements. And they set out to catfish this guy. And it looks
like
it's premise. Yeah. So it's Dennis from Always Sunny, but as if he was broken and still believed he was the best, but had to fight his way back up. I think it's going to go to some pretty messed up places. So that I think it premieres in a couple of weeks, but iTunes put the first episode, and I don't want to say it too much in case they did it by accident, but episode 2 and 3 are out as well, but they're not meant to air until beginning of March.
Oh.
So if you have a dig
around.
Have
you seen them?
Maybe the
I have downloaded them. I am going to be watching them probably tonight.
Okay.
So I can let you know next
You've
week.
You've downloaded them. There's no getting them off your,
exactly.
Your device now.
No,
maybe the intern was in charge of uploading them.
Oops. Oh, look, there's some really big names behind the scenes on this show, so I think they're trying to give it a big, big push and make sure it gets the audience it deserves.
Mm-hmm. Well, then it potentially could have been done on purpose.
Yes, but it looks like this is going to be a A-grade study in dark manipulation and horrible mind games and stuff. So it's School of Rock, but as if Jack Black was a really bad person and didn't learn any lessons.
Okay.
The other one I'll talk quickly about is the finale of Happy, which we've talked a few times about, of the Flying Blue Unicorn.
The unicorn and the imaginary friends and weird stuff happens.
Yeah, so the weird stuff continued to happen. The highlight this week for me was there was a reenactment of the Reservoir Dogs torture scene.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was one imaginary friend torturing a sock puppet imaginary friend with tickling. But it was the same music, same dance moves and everything, but it's this flying blue unicorn as Michael Madsen.
And we had the gag ball and...
Yep.
Yep, okay.
Unbelievable. Yep.
All that sort of stuff. The thing, it's kind of snuck up on me a little bit, and I've talked about this, of how you've got the anti-hero, the bad guy who's kind of had a bit of a redemptive arc and become good through the end of the show, and yet you've had this flip of the imaginary friend, and it didn't really crystallize until tonight, but he's gone to like a Walter White transformation, Breaking Bad style, and he's not nearly as good anymore.
Oh, no. Mm.
He's up for torture. He's up for killing. He's up for booger sugar, as he refers to it. Because he got some thrown in his face in a strip club and now he's all about booger sugar.
Right.
So it was a really, really interesting sort of narrative shift in this last episode of, okay, I won't say how, but they have just been picked up for a second season.
Right, and the last, I was going to ask.
Yeah, it's not until the last 4 minutes that things really crystallize and you understand where the show can go from here.
Okay.
But it does look like it's going to be even more adult in the next season.
Right.
Which is great.
18's and up.
Yes. So I have no idea when that one will be back, but when it is, I'm on board.
Yeah, fair enough.
Beauty.
The other one that I just want to talk about isn't a podcast.
Welcome to what Tom has been watching, the podcast. Well,
pull your socks up.
He did warn us.
He did.
I told you.
That's all right.
I'm happy listening.
I've been busy this week. The other one is not a TV show, but Leah, I mentioned this to you earlier. Marvel this morning announced that they've got a new podcast coming.
Ah, I listened to the trailer, yeah.
Yes, called Wolverine The Long Night, and it's going to be launching in a couple of weeks. They've partnered with our friends over at Stitcher, and it's going to be a serialized radio play about a couple of FBI agents, a la Mulder and Scully, that type thing, investigating a serial killer in Alaska, a small town, where Logan happens to be present, and he's prime suspect.
Oh, right, okay.
And they've got some very interesting people in the cast, so Richard Armitage.
It's a little bit like Serial,
yes,
but in the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
Nice. I love this. I love the fact that the radio serial is not dead. Mm. It's come back in podcast form.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
It is.
And it sounded great. Just the trailer, the production itself.
Very high production values. And they've got some really big names. So I said Richard Armitage is playing Logan, who he was in the Hobbit films. Mm-hmm. And you've seen him in a lot of stuff. He's great. Yeah, yeah, very, yeah. Very rugged man.
He's that guy.
Bob Balaban is a...
Sounds like a fun name to say. Bob Balaban.
He's the blonde guy with long blonde hair?
No, Bob... I don't know.
Richard?
Or Richard Armitage.
Yeah.
No, that's Legolas. So that's Lord of the Rings. Hobbit.
Yes, the more recent one. Yes.
He's the main dwarf.
Right.
Gotcha. Yeah, Bob Balaban, he's been in Waiting for Guffman and lots of those types of films. And then also Scott Adsit, who was the guy who played the... Oh, he's Pete on 30 Rock, forever put upon producer. Mm-hmm. Of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So they've got some actual big names. And it's kind of funny because this guy who plays Pete, Scott Adsit, is actually a character in the Marvel Universe because he got written in there as a hapless S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
I like him.
And he gets used as a punchline in Marvel Comics at least twice a month.
Just like 30 Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, he loves it.
In a world that time forgot, we are the Watchers.
Ash, have you been busy catching up with stuff?
I have. I mentioned last week that I'd jump on Amazon Prime and have a look.
Mm. Oh, yeah. What's it like?
It's quite good. I've only just jumped on the 7-day free trial. Just
that's okay.
A little bit of a smart ass. Just wanted to check out and see
you
what
you need
like.
To know, yeah.
And it's not too bad. It's not up there with Netflix. You're quite limited within the range of what you can watch. There's obviously, it's a very similar format to Netflix.
Sure.
They've purchased television shows and movies from different companies and all the rest of it. There's also a fair bit of unique content in there, one of which in particular is the Jean-Claude Van Damme TV show.
Is that your friend?
I wouldn't say Jean-Claude? My friend. I have met him.
I count that. If you've met a famous person, he's your friend.
Sure. We're besties.
Yeah,
Are you still tied or did you split?
We sort of split after that night.
Fair enough. So what's he doing on Amazon?
Well, he's got a TV show called Jean-Claude Van Johnson. I've only watched two episodes.
Is it a drama? Is it document? Like, is it reality? What is it?
It blurs the line between documentary and drama, which is something that you
that
mentioned
might
before.
Work. Yeah.
And the thing is that having seen and met, mind you,
best friend
Jean-Claude Van Damme in person, and watch him when he was out here in Australia, and he was talking up on stage with Richard Wilkins.
Mm.
He's a quirky dude. He is bloody hilarious. I don't know if it's because he's had too many roundhouse kicks to the head or whatever it is, but the guy's really quirky
and
he's
stop
quite he's quite funny. This show emulates that beautifully. It's a lovely little marriage here between his personality and a TV show for him. It's fantastic.
Do you feel like he is aware of the fact?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Okay. He owns it.
Okay.
He did a film a few years ago that was a very meta thing called JCVD, which was just watch it. It's
okay.
Again, it's really hard to describe. It's very meta. It's him aware of his own career.
Yeah, and his failings as a human. He's hit a few rough patches there. Yes. I'm sure that his accountant has a lot of trouble accounting for a few million dollars that may have gone up his nose.
Right.
And whatever you want to do, Jean-Claude.
He's so open about things. Did you know he was the original Predator?
I knew that. Yes. Yeah.
They didn't. He wasn't the final Predator that went to film, but he was in the suit for a couple of days.
Mm. Wow. How about that? How about that? But as far as aging goes, you can tell that he's had a rough life. You can tell that he's taken a lot of kicks to that beautiful face of his.
He was a very good looking man back in the day.
He was. Mm. Absolutely. Very short. Mm-hmm. I noticed. Like, he only come up to my famous nipples.
Like Tom Cruise sort of short, I think.
Yes. Yeah. I wouldn't mess with him though. At all. Okay. At all. I think he's still got it. But he's still fit? He's still fit, yeah. Like, he gets his shirt off in this show.
Okay.
And the show evolves. I was warned by a friend of mine that the show evolves and it turns into something that you don't really expect. And I'm seeing that to happen already in the second episode.
Are you happy to go along with it?
I'm loving it.
Fantastic.
But I'm also a massive fan of JCVD from back in the day. Bloodsport 2, Kickboxer, Time Cop and all that sort of hoo-ha.
Mm-hmm.
He's aged terribly, but he embraces it. He is standing in the mirror, and there's no concessions or discounts on the lighting. It is like full blown.
You've got to
let's
give
get
it
up.
To him.
You do.
I mean, he's not obviously gone and done the Botox. He's not.
No,
he's real. Reynolds'd himself.
But he'll play with the bags under his eyes in the show, and he takes the piss out of himself. My career, it's fucked. and it's really, really well done. High production value. They've spent a fair bit of coin on this. But the storyline, come along for the ride.
Okay.
It's one or two eps in, you're going to be going, yeah, especially if you're a fan of JCVD.
I just like the fact that you're able to say that.
JCVD.
Yeah, it rolls off the tongue.
But I just want to ask you, I just want to pose this question out there. Of all the superhero characters, well, not superhero, but the people of his ilk and his era, who do you think has aged the best?
And are we talking in performance or are we talking in looks and physicality?
In looks and physicality, because some of them have a really hard time keeping it together. Now, just for a point of reference here, Jean-Claude is only 57.
Yep.
All right. Sly Stallone, he's 71.
Yeah.
Chuck Norris. So just out of these, tell me who do you think's kept it together the best?
I was going to say Chuck.
Chuck Norris is 77. So all within, you know, keep it
Having
relevant
said
here.
That, Chuck could easily have had work done.
Well, it looks like he has. Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's 70, and Steven Seagal, 65.
So Seagal.
And I want to put Jackie Chan.
That's who I was going to say.
Who's 63 in there as well. And I also want to put Dolph Lundgren, who's 60. So bear in mind that there's about a decade difference between some of those.
Seagal has aged the worst.
Oh, terribly.
And he now has a whole thing in his contract where he's filmed in silhouette regularly so that you can't quite make out.
What a
he
shame.
Scares
his,
me.
His largeness.
He's got a TV show.
Lawman.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Is it good, is it?
It's been off the air for years. Now, we should just say that Seagal is probably going to be in a lot of hot water for the rest of the year because he's embroiled in that whole...
All right.
Yeah. Oh.
Very much so.
Weinstein-esque.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's an awful guy.
Oh, man. Seagal. Yes. Oh, fuck, man. But
Lawman has been was a great show. You know, he is an actual police officer, and it was cops but with Seagal.
Yeah. Yeah. But isn't that funny? Out of all those names I just mentioned, JCVD is the youngest, and I think he's aged the bloody most out of anyone. Unless it might just be because he hasn't had any laser treatment on his skin, or he hasn't had any.
And
Botox.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was never attractive,
no.
So he could age, and people wouldn't scrutinise as much.
No,
I know he's slightly different, but I'd throw Pierce Brosnan in the mix.
Yeah, sure thing.
And he has aged very gracefully.
Very well.
Yeah.
He's kept it together. Look, in terms of, I think, the whole package, Jackie Chan is top billing for me.
Yeah.
He's still amazing, you know, and he doesn't look too different.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Guess what?
What
I've started listening to.
What? I thought something happened then.
American Gods.
Oh.
The Well, not the podcast, the audiobook. Mm-hmm. It's really fun.
Isn't it?
It's really fun, Ash. You would like it.
I think you would.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So once I finished listening to the audiobook.
Yes. And you're going to dive in the show?
Yeah. It's really fun.
Yeah. And that fun carries over to the show.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, because I was tempted to get into the show and then I saw it up for grabs with Audible and I went, yeah, I'm going to try it.
So you know how there's those fun little vignettes where they're introducing the different gods?
Yes.
Every episode starts with one of those.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
I'm really, really, really giving it my whole attention because sometimes I find with audiobooks, if I'm off doing things, like even just driving, my attention is not always on the book itself and the story, but this is. I'm constantly, like, I'm always listening, always absorbing. So thank you, Tom, for the suggestion.
Mm. My absolute pleasure.
How long did the episodes go for?
I don't know. Are the episodes like hour long?
TV show?
No, for the or
so it's, well, it's the actual book, so it's not a podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, so the audio book itself is unabridged, so it's 17 hours.
Holy shit.
Mm.
All right.
You get the whole
book.
So you
just hit pause.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
I mean, there are chapters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you can, I assume you can sort of set it to just play this chapter.
Okay.
But I was tempted to listen to it as I was going to bed one night and went, no, because I'm going to fall asleep and I'll miss it.
Don't want to miss it.
It's really fun. No, big thumbs up with it. And I took one for the team this week. I watched an episode of Married at First Sight.
What's that?
I'll tell you about Married at First Sight. This is not the first season. I think this might be the third. It's Aussie. Well, what we're getting is Aussie.
Sure.
And people sign up. They say, find me my perfect match. And they've got these experts. And Ash, I think I should use those terms pretty loosely, right?
Absolutely. There's one psychologist on that show who is a total fucking lightweight. They really are. I just don't have time for trash TV
So they set them up and the first time they meet is at the altar and they're getting married.
Oh, well that's a lovely thing to do considering we've just fought in the streets for marriage equality. So let's have a show where we can just piss
just
away the idea.
Marry anybody. Right. And I can see how people would continue to watch because you want to watch the couples that you know are not going to get on. Because you want to watch the fights, you want to watch the awkwardness. That's where the reality television dangling carrot is.
It's like everything I don't like in a show rolled up into one.
Yeah, trash TV for the western suburbs of Sydney, pretty much.
It's not even one day a week. This is on several nights a week.
Oh, come on. Where's my kitchen rules?
Oh, I'm sure it's on somewhere.
It is. It's on at the moment. I've got a mate that's in it. G'day, Josh.
Hey, Josh.
But I mean, that's another example of it is really trashy TV. It's meant to be about the food and the cooking and people with these incredible skills.
And I'm sure that's how it started.
And that is how it started. And fair enough, David Evans, he has the.
Do you mean Pete Evans?
Pete Evans, sorry, mate. You know, he's got a personality of a dial tone, but Manu makes up for it with that amazing
sauce.
And when he says omos,
he
says
it's fun. It's really fun.
Look, I have watched some of that before. Stepping back, I watched a lot of it 5 years ago or something. When Lindsay, my partner, was pregnant. So we would watch that each night and same when we were putting Bub to bed. So I saw 2 seasons or something like that. And then I can understand what you're saying because when that show started, it was really good natured. It was just average Aussies, kind of like that first season or two of Big Brother.
Exactly.
Before it got diluted and it became about fighting and competition. I didn't come here to make friends.
Yeah. And how can we make this better? How can we stir the pot a little bit more? I think there's way too many producers sitting around the boardroom table snorting something and coming up with the ideas for this because it gets really narcissistic and it gets really shallow on My Kitchen Rules. And it's exactly the same with the program that you just mentioned.
Except this starts off with nobody. It doesn't start off with people going, I really like cooking or I really like doing something. I'm going to go on this show and see how good I am and perhaps get better. These people are like, I think I might want to be on television. Marry me with a stranger.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I loved this season where the couple that won, they went on with they wanted to open their own sausage shop up on the Central Coast or something like this. I can't remember where it was.
Funny that.
But they wanted to, you know, they were butchers. They wanted to open their own sausage shop and use the money so they could do IVF.
Oh.
And that was a beautiful story. Good. And the other people around, like, supported them with that.
Lots of puns in there.
But, no, this has got nothing. Yeah. I don't think there's a prize. But what I found really annoying was when they would show the three experts and the experts would sit there and go, I just think that these two people are really going to be good together because they've both been cheated on before.
Yeah, that's all BS. What is that? There's a whole heap of whiteboards and they're marrying up different personality types here to make sure that they don't get along, and it's gonna be drama.
We're normally about positivity here, and I feel like we're being sucked down into a swell of
yeah, but that's free reality. Free-to-air TV. It's desperately grabbing for ratings.
So
that's all it is.
Can we take a moment and maybe throw one out there?
Yeah, let's
that we
do it.
Think is good. The Australian Ninja Warrior.
Oh yeah, bring that on.
That's, for my money, our best reality show we've got at the moment. I don't know when it'll be back, but again, it's really good-natured and it's competitive, but they're not competing against each other. It's competing against themselves.
Mm. What do you think about Ben Fordham as a host?
He was nothing there. I was enjoying Freddie Flintock a whole lot more as the colour commentator.
Yeah, 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 the guy on the side.
Yeah, he's talking with people.
Yeah.
He was really good at picking people up and seeing people that were obviously nervous about being on camera and talking on camera and talking for them.
And he actually blinks as well, unlike Ben.
On that note, which was a C minor, I believe.
Did you just mouth thank you to me? You know that this is a podcast.
Oh, sorry. On that note, which is a C minor, thank you, Ash.
No, Leah, thank you.
Tom.
Josh, you're officially endorsed by us.
Boom.